It's been an amazing day. It's been an amazing week so far. I am just overwhelmed by the graciousness of God that I get to do what I get to do. Because you didn't know me before, you don't know just how overwhelmed I am that I get to do what I get to do now. How overwhelmed by the grace of God to be able to come to amazing places like this and to pour whatever little bit I can give to see the amazing moves of God continue to increase and increase. See, I was a pastor that always brought everybody else in. Never had an invitation to go speak anywhere else. And I was okay with that. I was really good with that. I was happy where I was. So I feel like that's a word for somebody tonight, because I want to talk tonight about the importance of dreaming, and I want to talk about the future. One of the things that I'm going to ask you as Selma to pray for me, because we've been so connected, is for those of you who were not here last night, you know, I've got some things back there on the table that is the DVD seminar of my post-traumatic stress disorder, healing of post-traumatic stress, the CD, as well as the prayer card. You're welcome to go back there at the end. Roxanne will be back there, and you can take care of that. If you know somebody with PTSD, and it's just awesome. Once you learn how to pray for it, then you become a divine magnet. And there are so many people with PTSD in our society, not just veterans, not just first responders, but people who have been physically assaulted, sexually assaulted, abused. You know, I mean, it's overwhelming, the need. And, you know, I have right now, I've probably trained about 2,500 people in this nation alone to learn how to do this. And you can do it too. How many of you know somebody that you know probably has post-traumatic stress? Would you raise your hand? Look at that, all across the room. So God wants to use you. And one of the things that we're seeing is God is beginning to wake up the rest of the world to this issue as well. What I'm going to ask you to pray for me, please, is I have an invitation from a youth with a mission base in Kiev, Ukraine, to come there and do three post-traumatic stress conferences in about a two-week period in Kiev, in Kharkiv, and then in a third city that the name is so long I can't even pronounce it. But because of both the revolution that took place in Ukraine and now because of the ongoing war that's going on there with Russia, most of those soldiers that are fighting Russia are militia. They're not professional soldiers. And so there's this YWAM base, Campus Crusade, as well as churches that literally send people up to the front and minister to the soldiers. But the whole country is beginning to suffer from post-traumatic stress, and it's become such a huge problem that, I mean, the entire government is saying, we don't know what to do with this. So it's not exactly a comfortable thing for my family to send me over to a place where I'm going to be probably 200 miles from what they call the red zone of Ukraine. So just pray for me. There's some things that still have to be put together in terms of provision and finances for it, because they obviously don't have anything. But supposed to go July 8th through the 20th and be there for about 15 days. So God is good. And once again, it's amazing that I get to do something like this. Just incredible. How many of you were here last night? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you completed your assignment? How many of you had dreams? Good. Excellent. How many of you wrote them down? How many of you brought them here? Oh, good. You guys are amazing. That's wonderful. So for those of you who weren't here, the assignment was I released a door of revelation to be open in every person's mind to be able to dream, and to dream to allow the God language of dreams to be released into every person's heart and mind. And not only that, but I also prayed that everybody would have sweet sleep. So if you slept better last night than you have for a while, would you raise your hand? Anybody? Look at that. Come on, Jesus. Somebody praise God, will you? That's wonderful. Thank you, God. And for the rest of you, sometimes it takes two doses, but you'll get it. I promise you, before you leave tonight, I'll pray for you one more time, and you'll get a good dose. And you'll have a good dose of the prescription of PR324. Proverbs 3:24 that says, you will not lie down in fear any longer, but that you will know sweet sleep. And sweet sleep is part of the inheritance that the Father gives to every one of His sons and daughters. In August of 1963, a pastor stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And he said this, let us not wallow in the valley of despair, I say to you today, my friends. And so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream rooted in the American dream. A dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day, on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope, and this is the faith that I go back to the South with. That pastor, of course, was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And his prophetic declaration of his dream, the prophetic declaration of a future that he envisioned, that was part of the future that God had in mind for this entire country, brought a challenge to the stronghold of racism and hatred that was part of not just the South, but of this entire country. And you and I, no matter how we might judge the state of relations today, our country is better and different than it was back then. Could I get an agreement? And so I have a question for you today. What is the importance of dreaming for us as we think about our future? First of all, I want to bring it to a very personal point. As I invite, and by the way, is there a handheld mic around here? Thank you. Would you bring it to me? For those of you who were not here previously or didn't hear this, the amazing Roxanne Hutchings has been a respiratory therapist for over 30 years. About 15 years ago, she entered the field of sleep medicine and began to explain to me and explore with me the power of dreaming. Now, dreaming does something for you physically, mentally, and emotionally, and as we've talked about spiritually, that she has seen from a medical professional's viewpoint. So would you welcome the amazing Roxanne Hutchings as she comes? And she's going to talk with you for just a minute about that.
Hello, everybody. Is this on? Turn it on.
It's on.
Just takes a second.
Is it on now?
It's on now.
All right. In all of my years of sleep, part of the things that I always loved was just the education portion of my sleep. I did a lot of PTA meetings and stuff like that. To help parents understand the need for sleep for their children, particularly teenagers. But I'm going to speak a little bit on dreaming in particular tonight. And so I just wrote a couple little notes so I don't forget something. It's been a while since I did this. You sleep one third of your life. And if the Lord has given us one third of our life to sleep, then there must be an importance to it. And there's a physical importance to it as well as a spiritual. spiritual importance to it. But you need sleep to live. If you don't sleep, you will die. You cannot live without sleep. One of the worst forms of torture that has been proven over and over when the military does research that they can do is sleep deprivation. The question is how to go about it, because it's just the worst. And so if you have somebody who's truly not sleeping, it changes who they are. It changes their personality. It changes the way that they respond to things. And you don't want to live with them very long. They're grouchy, they're irritable, they snap fast. There's a lot of issues with that. And so you not only want to get a good amount of sleep in terms of quantity, but you need good quality sleep. And in order to get good quality sleep, you need to dream. When you dream is the only time that your body secretes a lot of hormones that keep your body regulated normal, some of which are like your male and female hormones and other ones as well that control the kidneys and diabetes. Without good REM sleep, you are more prone to have diabetes as well as gain weight. But the other thing is, during REM sleep is the time that your brain gets the rest and the refreshment that it needs. All of the synapses and everything gets what it needs to be able to function the next 24 hours when you dream. So when you don't get any dreaming, then you can't think clearly, you can't thought process very well, and everything is just kind of in slow motion. And that's most of what I think you guys just need to know about dreaming. It's very important, you need it. You have at least 3 to 5 dreams a night. Most normal adults, children will sleep oftentimes 80% of the night dreaming. But adults, it's a little bit less frequent. And you usually will not remember a dream unless you wake up in the dream. And that's why you'll usually only remember one dream a night, because it's usually only one you actually wake up in. But, yeah, that's it.
Good job. Thank you. It's interesting that she said that the place... You're right. Thank you. Thank you, brother. That the place of dreaming is the place of rest. And how you know you're getting deep rest is when you're dreaming. Now just think about that for a moment as it applies to your future. I have a question tonight for you. Where is your future? Is it in front of you? Is it something that somehow is out that way? There's an old joke that says, the past, present, and future all walked into a bar, and it was tense. Some of you will get that, and some of you won't. But we know where our past is. It's supposed to be behind us, right? We know where our present is. It's supposed to be right here around us. But where's your future? What if your future was not in front of you, but your future was in you? What if you begin to operate in such a way that the future that is before us is in us? And it's in us by not only the God-given dream that we are. Y'all remember that I said that when before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you. And when you were conceived in your mother's womb, there was a God dream for your life. We only begin to fully experience and come to know that God dream when we come into alignment with God's purposes for the reason we were created in the first place, and that is to become conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. We know that the future is in us because it says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 10, a very interesting thing about Melchizedek. It said that when Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham, that his grandson Levi was in his loins. And that actually Levi was receiving the tithes with Melchizedek because he was with Melchizedek. I mean, Levi hadn't even been conceived yet. And yet the Bible says in Hebrews 7, he was there. In Jeremiah 29:11, the nation of Israel is in the state of being massively judged by God. He's massively judged by God. They completely broke his covenant. They were warned over and over and over again. And because God created a covenant that both had blessings for obedience and curses as well as for disobedience, they were in the place that God's patience had ended with them, and they were in the midst of having to deal with the curses of disobedience. It wasn't a matter of God's wrath, although there was wrath that was happening there, but it was literally something that they signed up for. They said, okay, we sign up for the covenant. And the covenant included both blessing and cursing. But in the midst of the judgment of God coming against them, it really was the judgment of their own actions. God says this, tell the people this, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you. As a matter of fact, let's go there to Jeremiah 29:11, because so many of us take that verse as a nice little refrigerator verse, but we don't read the whole thing because it doesn't always fit in our little plaques or on the front of our journals. Actually, this is the message to the exiles that have been sent from Jerusalem during the judgment. He says in verse 10, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. The future is inside of you. That is why dreaming is so significant. That is why understanding the power of dreams and visions and all the ways that God speaks to us is so significant. Because in each dream and vision, it's not only something about the present, but it's also something about the future. And indeed, I believe, and I've experienced it, that when I grab a hold of what the future looks like for me, I can begin to declare it and pull it into my present right now. I'm going to say it again. When I begin to understand and believe what my future looks like, because it's in me, and I begin to get dreams and visions about what that looks like, I can begin to declare what that future is, and I can pull it in from there to here because it's really in me. See, one of the things you have to know, this is a very important point I'm going to say to everybody, so please listen to this. You see, when you go to sleep at night, you think that we bought a lie that you think that the area of dreaming is completely out of your control. And we bought a lie that, well, I'm going to go to sleep now, and who knows what my dreams are going to be like, whether I'm going to have nightmares or anything like that. I want to tell you, that's a lie from the enemy. Because as we talked before, last night and today, that when you give your nights to God, then that becomes holy ground. Your sleep patterns become holy ground for God. Your time in terms of your brain resting becomes a resting place, and it becomes like a Sabbath for God. And that's when God can really come and download to you. And so it's the same way with your future. Your future is not something that is somehow just up for grabs and whatever happens, happens. And, you know, if the economy goes down or if government goes bad or all this other stuff, you know, you just never know what might happen. You know, it's kind of like a dice shot or somehow playing the lottery. Baloney! It's not true. It's very clear that the Bible says over and over and over again about you, that is, you're a lover of Jesus Christ. You're his disciple. You're a son or you're a daughter of a loving father. And he says, you know what? It doesn't make any difference how dark it gets. It doesn't make any difference how dark people get. It doesn't make any difference how bad it gets. This is the moment for you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, Isaiah 60 says. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For although deep darkness covers the earth and deep darkness of people, my glory is upon you. All of the wealth of the nations will come to you. You keep reading Isaiah 60. It's about every single promise that God gave to his people being returned back to them in that moment when the glory of God is fully shining brightly upon them. So getting our understanding of where our future is critical for navigating the times ahead. It's amazing. We had a little word about Zechariah tonight. That little boy back there, he represents for me my grandchildren. He represents baby boy Hutchings that's going to be born in a few weeks that God just healed of a heart murmur. And see, I have great hope. I have great plans. I see a great future for every one of that generation. I don't see a dystopian future where they have to scratch and claw for food to eat and water to drink and barely enough to survive from. You see, it's interesting to me, Bishop, that all the guys that are speaking about how bad things are going to get are all in their 60s and 70s. In other words, they've had their life. And now they're on their way out. They say, well, you know, things are going to be bad for you guys. See, I don't think that's the true heart of a father. I think the true heart of a father is you want your children and grandchildren to have better life than you did. You want them to be more blessed than you are. And I believe that our children or grandchildren are going to be able to walk on a floor that is our ceiling. That whatever blessing we have experienced in our life is going to be small in comparison for the blessing that they're going to walk in, for the anointing that they're going to walk in, for the future that they're going to walk in. And they're going to be some of the greatest overcomers, some of the greatest spirit-filled, anointed preachers and teachers and ministers, some of the greatest men and women that have ever walked in the history of the entire church. I believe that for young boys like Zechariah and for all of the children of this generation right now. I believe it's for them now. Could I get an agreement in Jesus' name? Last weekend, I actually had an evening off, and so the director of Global School South Africa, Phil Olson, took me to go see a movie. And I went to go see the movie Tomorrowland. Has anybody seen Tomorrowland yet? Anybody? Nobody's seen it. One person has seen it. Two people have seen it. Did you like it, Lily? I did. I loved it. Because, you know, it talked about a future. A good future. It talked about a good future who those believe in a good future. And it also talked about those who don't believe in a good future and what can happen to society when those who don't believe in a good future begin to make declarations about it and how it changes things. And the amazing thing about it is that the movie was about the place of every little boy's dream, where every kind of gadget you can imagine, from jetpacks and just amazing things that, you know, all of the sci-fi stuff exists there. And all you have to do is have a little pin and you touch it and you get transported there. And what's interesting is, I won't do a spoiler, but when you get transported to this beautiful future, this beautiful place, the first place that you land is a harvest field. A beautiful field of harvest wheat that is ready to be harvested, which to me speaks of the kind of future that is ahead for you and I. That it's not about, you know, just being afraid of our own government, being afraid of all the things that are going to happen, but instead we have a glorious and bright future ahead of us, if you will believe that that's God's future for you. You see, your future is not just ahead of you, but it's in you. The way that we access the future is by dreaming big dreams. This is the second point. We dream big dreams, and we do something that the Massachusetts Institute of Technology came up with this term. It's called presencing. Presence, ing. A prophet didn't come up with that. A theologian didn't come up with that. Some person at MIT came up with that. And it's the idea of presence and sensing being mashed together to be a word. And what they referred to it as, in terms of presencing, is an understanding that by being present in a situation and sensing what's possible, you can actually bring the future, what everybody is saying, this is the future, you can bring it into your present. You can bring it into your present time right now. That there are many things, how many of you know that there are amazing inventions that have not only been made, but there are amazing inventions that have already been made that haven't yet made it into the marketplace for all sorts of different reasons. And so this idea of presencing is trying to bring those things, inventions and ideas and concepts for the betterment of humankind, into the present right now. For you and I, presencing is really about bringing to manifestation what heaven is waiting to bring to earth. Do you know that heaven is waiting to bring a lot of things to earth right now? And you know who heaven is waiting for? You see, Bishop, do you still have your Superman socks on? You know, Bishop has his Superman socks on with his cape. I don't have anything that fancy, but I do have something that I just want to say is my identity and purpose. I bring heaven to earth. And there are things in heaven that when I dream, when I get visions, and when I begin to prophesy and declare what's best for my family and what's best for everything that I love and what's best for the cities that I love, like Selma, Alabama and Pure, Illinois, I can begin to declare those things. And through hosting the presence of God, which for me is called presencing, I can begin to sense the reality of what heaven wants to bring into those places, into my family, into my life in such a way that they become reality. J.R.R. Tolkien said this, "One dream, one outrageous dream is better than 1,000 realities." One outrageous dream is better than 1,000 realities. Because you see, it's through a dream, that God language, that we begin to get an understanding of what that future really looks like. And I am not willing to give up the future, my own future, my children's future, my grandchildren's future, down to the third and fourth generation. I am not willing to give up their future for an eschatology that is an understanding of the end times that is based more on fear and negativism than it is about the truth of what God's Word says. See, so many of you have come to me. This is how I know religion. You know, I'm not against religion if it's right religion. There's nothing wrong with religion. You know, it says in James, this is good and perfect religion, that you care for the poor and take care of the widows. So I hate it when people just paint a broad brush on all religion. But what's happened with a lot of the twisting of different scriptures is that we believe that God has a real negative view about us and what's going to happen. And so when you have negative dreams, and a number of you have come to me and you've brought negative dreams, and you've said, and there were dreams that you had years ago, and you said, you know, this was a dream that I had, and, you know, did I miss God in this? And is this God trying to warn me something? And was God trying to tell me something? Some of you have had dreams about people dying, and then they died, and, you know, something bad happened, and it happened. And this brother over here talked about a volcano blowing up, and sure enough, a volcano blew up today. And, you know, I want to say this to you very clearly, that first of all, you need to know your Father loves you. He's for you. He's not out to freak you out or make you fearful. His thoughts towards you are overwhelmingly positive and very little negative. And so therefore, if there's something that he wants to speak to you about that is a warning or a concern or something like that, that's why Holy Spirit is in you. See, Holy Spirit is the one who is given to take care of anything that's wrong with you, to deal with that, to put his finger on the things that need to be dealt with. And God doesn't have to get all exotic and esoteric and throw all sorts of symbolism your way to deal with that. As a matter of fact, God would like for you to get over that as quickly as possible and move on. Could I get an agreement in the room? You know, if I want my child to change, I'm not going to try to tell them some fancy story, you know, about some crazy thing and somehow hopefully they'll get the point. I'll say, Rachel, I need for you to change this. And here's what's going to happen if you don't change this. Here's a consequence. I love you, but change. And then I smile at her. Right? That's how I'm not the greatest father in the world, but he is. And so I believe he's going to speak to us in a very positive way, in a very clear way. Clarity. Because in clarity there is power. In clarity there is power. And when we understand that when we host the presence of the Lord and we stay connected with him, he brings clarity to every situation, then we have nothing to fear. We have absolutely nothing to fear. What is negative about the world is not that God is getting ready to completely wipe out everybody and just make everything miserable for anybody. What is negative about the world is the fact that the body of Christ has not raised up and began to declare God's purposes, plans, and future for this world and begin to access what heaven is waiting to pour out into this world through us. And all of heaven, with all of its warehouses of body parts, the warehouse of healing of diseases that the bishop talked about, the warehouses of glory, the warehouses of provision, the warehouses of prosperity, the warehouses of complete city and state and nation transformation, that's all up in heaven. And all it's waiting for is for the body of Christ to come together and to dream big dreams that God is already downloading to them and begin to declare those dreams, begin to declare the promise of them and pull what we think is way out in the future right here to now. Nobody would have ever dreamed in 1963 that in 2008 that we would have an African-American president. And I'm telling you, something was broken in this country when Barack Obama was president. It was the stronghold of racism. And no matter how much we may seem to be having a lot of racial problems right now. Something was broken that was positive when Barack Obama became president of the United States. You may not like his policies. You may not like some of the things that he's done. But the bottom line is, it was an incredible tearing down of the stronghold of racism and hate. And there truly was a sense that all men are created equal. The very dream that Martin Luther King had came to pass in 2008. And that's something we ought to shout about. Come on. We ought to shout about it, guys. Like I say, you may not like his policies, and that's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is the things that God is breaking over this nation and over this world right now that is absolutely mind-boggling. And it's because people have been through intercessory prayer and have been declaring the promises of God, pulling the future into today. Life is heaven, that's right. Well, I want to tell you right now that because you dream, you're a candidate to be one of those who pulls down the resources of heaven to earth. And your mind and your whole life become a conduit where you bring heaven to earth every single day. That's the importance of dreaming. That's the importance of believing. Because I tell you, it takes courage today to be somebody who's positive about the future. It takes courage today in the Christian sector alone to say, you know, you may believe that all this bad stuff is going to happen, but can you find that for me in Scripture? Can you show me where Jesus says that's really what he wants for the world? And in reality, what I see happening in the world is that the body of Christ is going to get bigger and stronger and greater, and we're going to have the glory of God, and we're going to see more signs and wonders and miracles, and so many more amazing things happen. That's what I see happening. I see a since the Azusa Street Revival at the beginning of the 20th century, there has been nothing except a flame of fire of revival and renewal by the power of the Holy Spirit that swept throughout the entire earth. And America is getting to be one of the last ones that it's actually happening to. But we're going to have it here, folks. Yes. I'm declaring in Jesus' name a flame of fire of revival, Holy Spirit revival, that is blanketing the world, that is blanketing Africa, that is blanketing the East, that is blanketing Russia, that is blanketing Iran. Did you know that Iran's having revival? Does anybody told you that? Did you know that there are literally hundreds of thousands of Muslims that are coming to faith in Iran today? It's happening. It's happening. You just don't see it on the news much. But it's happening. Is there persecution? Of course it is. But it's a flame of fire revival. And it's happening in America. We're pulling it from the future, waiting for some distant future where something might wonderful happen and we might have revival in the churches. I'm saying it's happening right now in Selma, Alabama. It's happening right now in here. That's because somebody dreamed big enough to say, it can, you know, as much as Selma has suffered, as much as people have used the name Selma as a curse word, God says, you know what? I'm going to turn that thing around. I'm going to flip it to be a word of blessing. When people speak of Selma, it'll no longer be about the past, because Selma is no longer defined by its history. It's defined by who I call it. And it'll be a throne place where I can come and rule and reign in Jesus' name. Could I get an agreement in this place? So that's how we dream. That's how we access the future. That's how we begin to realize that we can know what this future looks like. Because you see, one of the things you have to understand is that, as Roxanne pointed out, we expand the kingdom from the place of rest. This is a very important point. Then we're going to go over a few of your dreams with you, okay? But it's a very important point. I believe in working hard. I believe in going for it and giving everything I can for the kingdom of God. But I want to say something to you. I want to be very clear with you. You dream and you access the future from the place of rest. It's in the Sabbath year, which, by the way, we're in a Sabbath year, 5775, according to the Hebrew calendar, is a place where in the place of rest we really begin to dream and get the download of the Heavenly Father. We begin to see the vision. We begin to see not just what we wish the future would be, but what the Father has planned for the future to be for us. And we, from the place of rest, from the place of peace, cry out to Him and say, Father, let Your kingdom come today. Let Your will be done today on earth as it is in heaven. Let every single prayer and declaration that I make when I speak about my reality be in alignment with what You want our reality to be, Father. What happened? The children of Israel were on their way to the promised land. They were at the very precipice of the land flowing with milk and honey and entering into the very promise of God that He had gone all the way back to Abraham and given that promise. They were on the very precipice of it. And because the children of Israel continued to complain and murmur and grumble and always be, if they could find anything negative about anything that God was doing, they would find it and they would speak it forth. And because of the kind of atmosphere that they continued to carry all the way through the wilderness, all the way from Egypt, all the way to the point of the promised land, they continued to carry that atmosphere of negativism, complaining and murmuring. And it was because of that that they all died in the wilderness. Because the mindset that they carried would not be able to contain the blessing that God had promised that they would enter into. This is a very important point. You wonder where all of your blessing is. And I'm going to say to you, it may be because you really have a negative mindset about what God is doing in your life and what He plans on doing. If you're, you know, how many of you remember the old show, the old show, Hee Haw? Anybody? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Welcome to Sunday morning at church. Because we're all waiting for Jesus to come and rescue us out of this. Jesus, come on, Jesus. Drop, kick me, Jesus, through the goalpost of life. Get me out of here. Seriously, that's what a lot of our churches are preaching right now. And because of that, we have no hope for transformation. But God is raising up an army just right that's right here right now who dream big dreams, who believe to dare to believe the impossible, that God will transform our communities into heaven on earth right now. So Father, I just ask right now in Jesus' name, even as we share some of our dreams and we go into a time of impartation, that You deal ruthlessly with the negativism in our minds, that You tear down the stronghold of negative thinking, negative speaking, negative declaring, and agreeing with the plans of the enemy rather than agreeing with the plans of God. I ask You, Father, in Jesus' name, to just come. And we give You permission, Holy Spirit, to be ruthless, to not let up on us until every bit of negative thinking and complaining is rooted out of our lives in Jesus' name. I ask You, Father, to take out the root of bitterness. I ask You to take out the experience of our past where we have felt that somehow we deserved that kind of attitude. And Father, we repent. That is, we change the way that we think about our present and about our future. That it's full of bright hope, joy unspeakable, and full of glory. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All righty. What's that? Yeah, get me a mic. So, if you have a... guys, Luke, would you do me a favor? Would you get my PowerPoint back up there? And would you find the PowerPoint that says Fast Track to Interpreting Dreams? Where it says the four questions. If you could find that, that would be awesome. So, if you wrote down a dream, if you had a dream last night and you wrote it down as part of the assignment, just stand up and the amazing Ron will come and we'll let you read the dream. Now, I'm just going to say this first and foremost. This has to be a dream from last night. It can't be last week, last month, last year. It's got to be a dream from last night, okay? Because I released something, you had an assignment to go home and dream, and now you guys are coming back and you're fulfilling the assignment. So who wants to share their dream? Does anybody want to share their dream? I've had five people say to me, well, yeah, I dreamt this, but I can't share it in public. I'm like, well, okay, I guess that's all right. But anyway, good. Hallelujah. Come on, give it up. What's your name? Rachel. Give it up for Rachel. Come on, she's courageous. I love it. Go for it. I can hear you now.
First of all, I woke up twice during my singing praise music. Just during the night.
That's awesome.
But I dreamt that I was in a small, very bright office. I was sitting at a desk. There were empty boxes, cardboard boxes all around me. I was dressed in a uniform, khaki pants, and a white polo shirt. I was conscious that my foot does not hurt. I've had foot pain for several weeks. People would cut in one at a time. My position was to advise them if they were or were not moved. The first person came in was moving from Selma to somewhere else. And in my head, I kept thinking, I knew nothing about Selma, so how could I advise this person to move away? And I kept thinking that over and over in my thoughts. The second person that came in was traveling to a distant land. I immediately knew in my spirit that they should go, and I said so. And so it was kind of this dream where people would come in one at a time, one at a time. The interesting thing to me was that all the boxes were empty. It was very orderly, and it was very bright. It was a very bright room.
Okay. So remain standing. So, Luke, can you find that?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to kind of look at those four questions real quick. The first one is, I've forgotten what the first one is. Yeah, who or what is the dream about? Thank you. I was thinking what is the feeling of it, but it's who or what is the dream about? In what area of your life does it refer to? So can you answer that?
There's lots of movement in my life right now, just personal movement.
Interesting. Okay. Alrighty. So you think that's what the dream is about? Is about the movement in your life?
Well, really, I was supposed to start another dream today, so I didn't focus as much on this. In looking at this, I would say yes. When I put the focus back on me in this dream, I would say yes, it's about, it is really personal movement, it's not physical movement.
Okay. Very good. So you've already told us that the dream was pretty positive, right? And it was pretty bright. It was a bright dream. It's awesome. Was there any repeated theme in the dream that you can think of? That maybe you've had dreams like this before? Have you ever had a dream like this before?
I have had very distinct dreams about moves that God did in my life. And one thing I always think is many times I dream, and I may not know the dream, but I know what God told me in the dream. I wake up knowing, having a knowing in my spirit, and that is usually
okay, all righty. So the three points, let's just do three main points to the dream. What I heard you say is that the three main points were the number one that came back over and over again, how everything was orderly, and that you were dressed in almost like a uniform, and that you were helping people, and they were all moving. But their boxes were empty? That's very interesting. Wow. So what is the... When you receive, now that we've talked about it, What is the dream speaking to you?
I think that I need to stay where I am in a way, that it's not, my box is empty in a way, and that I need to, as Bishop Chuck said today, focus on that hub and stop worrying so much about the spokes around me and focus on the hub for a while, and then perhaps personally move on later instead of thinking everything has to change right now.
And that gives you a good feeling?
It's a peaceful feeling.
That's awesome. That's wonderful.
Maybe the boxes were empty because they came to ask if she moved, so she gives them an empty box to help them move.
Olivia said, maybe the boxes were empty because they came to you for counsel to ask them to move, and you gave them a box to move. That could be, or it could simply be that they actually came for counsel and they weren't, like you say, they weren't ready to move. And they kept their boxes empty until they got the counsel. So anyway, good job. Yay! Give it up for Rachel. Who's got another dream that they dreamt last night? Anybody? Anybody want to share? Dorothy, all the way in the back. We won't get to everybody tonight, obviously, because we want some time of impartation. And during impartation, Bishop and I are going to lay hands on you, and you're going to get a massive impartation to dream and vision and just get all sorts of God language. So go for it, Dorothy. Right. Right. Okay, well, you got to keep your microphone. So what is the dream about? About you singing beyond the congregation, right? And singing a part. But you continued on even though everybody else stopped, right? Was it positive, negative? Was it bright or dark? It was bright. Actually, it felt like a regular happening because you said you thought it actually happened. So it didn't have any difference from what your normal life or anything like that would be. So any repeated themes in that? Just singing, worshiping? Would that be it? So you kind of already gave us the three or four main points of the dream. So what do you think the dream is about, Dorothy?
I think that, this is what I thought that the Lord said. He said, I tend to hide out of the congregation singing the harmony. It's not easily identified from, from the congregation, I guess, and that's not like the Lord was saying. He's sort of in a place of leading. And I'm not thinking in terms of, worship, but just it's a metaphor for stop hiding out and start leading.
I completely agree. Wait, don't walk away. I really think that it is a metaphor about you no longer hiding in the group, but coming into the fullness of who He created you to be. To not that even though the Bible talks about that every part of the chorus, every part of the body is just as important as every other one. But some of the parts sometimes get hidden, but they are just as important as the ones that are not hidden. And I hear the Lord say that it's your time to come forth and shine. Come on, is that right? It's good. Anybody else? Aren't these courageous women? Aren't they amazing? You got a dream? What you did last night?
Yeah, I just feel we're going to have a
Wait. So everybody can hear you.
I think we needed to have one that wasn't all so light and happy.
Okay. You dreamt it last night, right?
I dreamt it last
okay.
night.
Yeah. Okay,
it's
good.
The first one. I woke up like 4 times.
Okay.
This is the first one. There's a man. I guess I'm in my house. I don't know where, but I think I'm in my house. Well, he's in handcuffs. You know what I mean? Like he's an intruder, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for somebody to come and take him away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about waiting with this guy with the handcuffs. So I look at Bill to say, you know, come be with me while this guy, while we're waiting for the thing. But when he comes out, there's no man there anymore. There's like this lizard-like creature.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real strong sense of he needs to be killed. I mean, not just not in that house. He needs to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill goes and gets something. It's like a big cast iron frying pan.
Mm-hmm. We're going to cook some lizard tonight, man. It's going to be great. Awesome.
He's going to hit him over the head with it, I think. But he keeps going behind the furniture, like hiding.
Yeah.
And then suddenly comes slinking out, and he goes and he whacks this thing, and it flies into pieces. Oh, it's not the right thing, because I can tell when I see him. I said, no, yeah. That's
something else that's slinking around your house. Okay.
So keep looking. And then we last catch up with the lizard. He stops hiding because he's like with another lizard. I don't know if they're mating him, what they're doing. But anyway, he's holding still finally.
Okay.
And then we smash him to death. And then I wake up.
Okay. So what's the dream about?
My immediate reaction to dreams like that is that it's spiritual warfare.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, what area of your life does this refer to? So it refers to your house, your personal, like your personal life?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's personal or whether it's the church.
Okay. All right.
Because, I mean, your third question, is it repeated? I mean, there was a dream years ago when we were having a struggle when we first came into the CEC that somebody else in our parish had about, was it snakes coming out of the wall? Snakes coming out of the wall of the church?
Oh, that's, you know, it's always a great dream to have. It's always, yeah. That's a pretty common theme. Yeah,
yeah
it is. Everybody smile. I'm just, come on. Snakes coming out of the church. Yeah.
Like it was a
sense of the attack of the enemy against the church. Yeah.
Is what I think it's about.
So the dream was negative.
It was negative and it was positive.
Was it?
It was negative to start with, but it was positive at the end because at the end we had killed the lizard.
Okay.
He was gone. We had conquered over the lizard.
Okay. So what do you feel that dream, what's God trying to speak to you?
Okay. This is kind of just a general, or if there's some specific attack I'm supposed to read.
Bill, does it say anything to you?
Yeah, we need bigger frying pans.
Well, you know, I just think it speaks very well of the teamwork that you guys have, and that you call upon your husband to come and take care of that intruder, and he was very effective in doing so. Whenever I see a wife in particular have dreams about her husband, where her husband comes and saves the day, that first of all, it speaks so well of your relationship. Secondly, it speaks that as a team together, there you have a role and he has a role. And obviously his role is to wield the frying pan to destroy the enemy in your life, and I think that's awesome. So I would say, you know, that's a victory dream. It really is. It's an awesome dream. So, good job. Give it up. Yes, Bill, did you want to say something?
I have a follow-up.
All right, go ahead. Follow up.
You want me to extend it? Anyway. All right. Mine was actually, it was very clearly World War II,
mm-hmm.
England, and the Germans were coming up the Thames toward London, and they were firing torpedoes toward London, and they were striking the bridges and destroying the bridges. And then this word came in and said that it was time for Balsam's blatant attack. I have no idea what that means.
Interesting.
Balsam's blatant attack.
We were Googling that.
Yeah. We Googled that all morning trying to figure out what that was. Anyway.
Did you say Google is another name for God, is that right? Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. And then I needed to be careful not to hit France.
Yeah, you need to have a more strategic frying pan. Yeah.
So anyway, that was the essence of it.
Uh-huh. So, what's it about? Okay.
And it was about us coming. The enemy was coming against us, and we were being called to do a blatant attack.
Okay. So it was positive, negative?
Very positive in the sense that we had the power to come against that which was coming against us. Mm-hmm.
Any repeated themes? Basically, spiritual warfare.
Oh, yes.
Right. Yeah. 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 So here's what I hear. I hear strategy. I hear strategic and strategy. That the Father is downloading strategy for your context of ministry and for your life as a couple. You both have that kind of, which tells me strategy. You know, and the strategy, it's an interesting thing. The strategy doesn't have to be really complicated. It can be as simple as a frying pan. I mean, seriously, you know, if you think about the simplicity of that sometimes we get so, you know, this is why I love this guy here, because he likes things really simple. He likes to bring things into simplicity, which means that it's all on the lower shelf for everybody. And I think that's where God wants everything about the kingdom. I don't think it should take a genius to figure out the kingdom. It shouldn't take a genius to figure out how God wants to speak to us or how to do spiritual warfare. It all ought to be on the bottom shelf where any child can get a hold of it. How many of you would agree with me on that? Anybody? So I just think that God is going to continue to give you very simple strategies to break the power of darkness in Asheville and bring freedom. Go ahead.
Balsam is a perfume. It's a spice.
Balsam, yeah.
It always speaks about worship.
And balsam always speaks about worship.
That's your place.
That's
the simple thing that creates a space that the enemy can't get in. Is that you become even more worshiping people.
Amen.
And this brother said that they actually made rockets out of balsam. Used balsam wood.
Yeah, I do that.
That's pretty cool. Awesome. Okay, one more. Joe, we're going to do one more, and then we're going to do some impartation.
I was at a large exposition or like a sales fair inside a gallery or a convention center where people had tables and booths, and my table was to sell Coca-Cola products and cans. But I couldn't find a price tag. I was trying to print them, and we'd print, look around, look at the boxes, all this sense of frustration and seeking. We couldn't find the prices. Father Bill and Blockman comes walking over to see how things are going.
Everybody's
going to have my phone this morning. I said, "You care how much I would charge for a can of Coke?" He said, "No, why?" I said, "Well, I dreamt that you checked on me at the table." He said, "I was going." I told him I couldn't find the price tag. I couldn't print them. I couldn't find nothing. He said, "Well, that's okay." He walked away. And that pretty much was it. What I remembered was the frustration.
Okay. So what's the dream about? The frustration and hopelessness of not being able to complete the task? Okay. So does that refer to a particular area of your life? Is there an area of your life right now that you're frustrated about not completing the task? Okay. So then the next question is, it was negative? Was it a negative dream?
I would call it negative just because of the way the emotional.
Bright or dark? Or okay, gotcha. Any repeated theme that you have in your dreams? Any repeated themes at all?
No, but actually I did dream about the price, about being able to find this price tag about
3 points. Oh.
I came back last night.
Interesting.
But God brings me Father Bill, so I'm like, what's that about?
Well, that is interesting. So, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the dream is from God, or is it you working through some emotional issues?
I mean, after the day, I think it's just my brain was going to fall away.
Yeah.
Part of it,
well, you know, he's strategic. Yeah. He's strategic, so he's helping you get it straight. That's interesting.
But I don't think it was God was trying. But I did remember it, and I've always, well, I've been kind of like, you don't remember it, and maybe it wasn't really a message from the Lord there. But I do remember it so clearly. It's like, okay, maybe you want me to remember for a reason. But then maybe just to bring up here's an example of the brain and all that.
What was the incomplete task again?
I couldn't find his price tags for this cans of Coke or something.
Yeah, no, tell me the context again. So what?
That was, I had a booth at like
Expo.
Expo. All these different people had little booths and things set up. I was going to sell Coke.
Sell Coke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, I could have just put the sign that said 50 cents, which, you know, I don't like it.
He does sell Coke at what? Work.
Oh, he does sell Coke at work. Okay. Well, then that's good to know. Thank you.
Raise money for charities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Come on, give it up for Joe, will you? So that's a good idea about, there may be something else, but right now we'll call it brain file maintenance. Here's one thing that you mentioned, a thing that I forgot to mention. I want to say this. We think that when God gives us a dream, that we'll remember it. And that's not necessarily true. Because remember that we've given our nights to Him and He downloads stuff to us. And there may be some things that He's actually working in us that we may not remember. How many of you have ever had the thing about deja vu? Anybody? Well, deja vu could very well be the Father speaking to you ahead of time that this is what you're going to go and this is what you're going to do. Because how many of you know, it's a lot of times deja vu is not just about being in a place, but it's actually doing something, and it's about having conversations and things like that, and you feel like, wow, I've had this conversation before, and what have you. I honestly believe that it is, the Father has set us up for that, and so we don't have to be afraid of that. We have to actually, it should build trust in you that the Father said, when you begin to feel deja vu, it's like, oh, I bet God already downloaded this to me, so I'm ready for this. So it's all good. I just believe that about the Father. You know, back to this brother's question before: will God give us dreams that warn us about things and what have you? Yeah, He does, but it's not to be something that we get focused about. So that don't automatically think that if somebody in your dream dies, that person is going to die. Okay, I have dealt with people who've actually been involved with the occult in previously that did happen. But once they got set free from the occult, once they got set free from witchcraft or stuff like that, then they never had those dreams anymore. But actually what drove them to come to me was the fact that they were so freaked out that they would dream a dream, somebody die, they died a few days later. And they had that happen about 3 or 4 times, and it freaked them out so much that they said, I need help here. So Just trust Him. Just know that as you draw near to Him and ask Him, He will give you everything that you need of all the things that He's been trying to tell you in dream and vision language in Jesus' name. Could I get an agreement in the room, anybody?
Amen.
So here's what we're going to do. I just really feel that the Holy Spirit just wants to bring some impartation through both Bishop Chuck as well as myself, because how many of you like to see more visions? Anybody? How many would like to dream more dreams? Anybody? All right. So there it is. That means everybody qualifies.